This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So can you talk about the character that you're playing here? You're Flynn's son, and we don't really know that much more about him.
Well, yeah, it's pretty much, you know, the film sort of takes place, you know, 20 years, you know, after Flynn has sort of mysteriously disappeared, and starts off kind of with me. Sort of see this kid. I mean, he's the biggest shareholder in the company, you know, really at this point, in Encom. And sort of, you know, had to grow up without his father, lived with the grandparents, and Alan Bradley kind of always looked after him, you know, got him out of trouble, things like that. And then, you know, Alan pays a visit and sort of ushers me to kind of go, you know, to Flynn's, kind of go to the office and check things out. And I go there and, you know. I mean, me as Sam, as a character, is kind of a kid with a lot, but sort of does a little with it, you know. Very seclusive and sort of, you know, kind of in his own, you know, introverted and things like that, I guess. And sort of does all these kind of extreme things just because he can. You know, I was very interested in, you know, the base jumping and motorcycles and the, you know, the container home by the water with the wonderful view. And, you know, grew up without his father and is now kind of going to search or find his father. And once he gets into this world, it's right all this time. And then there's, you know, the light bikes and the discs and the game grid, all this sort of stuff comes to play.
You get to do a lot of physical stuff too?
Yeah. Initially when we started this, I mean, I started the first week in January. Started with motorcycle training and getting my license. After the hour and a half of motorcycle training, I drive over to 8711, where the stunt coordinator, David Leach, that's his compound. And so we do the fight training there. We do, you know, parkour sort of exercise and jumps, and do that for an hour and a half, and a lot of hand-to-hand combat. And then train with the trainer, Logan Hood, who, you know, sort of trained all the 300 guys for Jeff Silver. Trained with him for an hour of intensive training, so you know, the 2 months of that felt like I'd already filmed the film. Now we, you know, now we come on to this and you got to continue and, you know, keep it up. But everything, it's, you know, great sort of abilities to acquire, you know. The parkour and stuff was definitely exciting, being able to see that you're actually doing it, and, you know, jumping over cars and, you know, a single leap, or the legs first and push off, or, you know, dive out with the arms and throw the knees through, and, you know, very fun stuff.
And you get that, I know the light cycles are CG, but are you actually riding a motorcycle at some point in this?
Motorcycle, yeah. The beginning sequence in the film is kind of a pseudo chase, and also the, yeah, big old sort of chase sequence with the motorcycle there, and then we get onto the light bikes, and I think that we'll be doing in September back in LA or something, motion capture and stuff like that.
Cool. Did you do any father-son bonding with Jeffrey?
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, you know, very long days here, and a lot of the times it can be distracting. I mean, usually you have time in between camera setups, but most of us are always being fiddled with, you know. Getting lights glued back on, or battery packs changing, or this or that, and, you know, it's always kind of something.
So was that part of rehearsals, though, to
within
get
the
a vibe going?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been such a fan of him and his kind of self-character and his charisma and everything, and I knew I'd really get along with him, and, you know, we did. It's kind of, you know, he's got a very big portion of him that's still just a kid, so it's very easy, you know, for us. I mean, we just kind of play played games. I was saying yesterday, you know, you had the games pigs, the old-fashioned one where it's the snouter, the leaning jowler, and how they land. And, you know, so it's always funny going back and forth like that. Like, woo, man, yeah. You know, and so. But, yeah, I mean, such long hours, the weekends, you're really just trying to restore, regain, you know, what you've lost over the week. So most of us sort of flee our own ways and cocoon, and then we come back to set a little, hopefully, refreshed.
Did you pick up any of his, maybe his mannerisms or at all, since you're his spawn?
I think, you know, naturally, I mean, for father and son and stuff like that, if he was doing something, I would, you know, almost kind of mirror it on a little bit, gestures, and if you're leaning up against something, you kind of have that, because I know I have that with my dad, you know. I'd come back in from the field, he'd be like, did you finish cultivating? I'd be like, well, it went up and down, I still got to go kitty corner, and then I'd lean, and then, you know, someone's saying, you lean just like your father. So there's those little things, you know, or hands and what you're doing with your gestures, how you enunciate things, and so it's nice, yeah.
Are you a master of art?
Yeah. Minnesota. Actually, just 10 miles south of Canada.
Your character is not, I don't know the full arc of the movie, but your character is sort of the protagonist in the same way that Jeff's character was in the first Tron.
Yeah, so, I mean, very
similar. Did you guys compare notes?
I mean, you know, it's funny chatting to him about it. I mean, I won't say how he referred to what he felt, himself, his performance within that, but I mean, definitely, you know, trying to still have a sense of life and freedom and all this kind of energy and also the wits and the smarts and always trying to sort of achieve something or always putting something together and figuring things out, you know. That's what a lot of this is I'm always just trying to figure something out. And, you know, so there's a lot of tricks that kind of go on throughout this film and a lot of revealing and all sorts.
Is it difficult as an actor? I mean, my assumption is that the way it sounds, at least in how it's been described, is that your character sort of stumbles into this world that you've never really experienced before. Is it difficult as an actor shooting a movie out of sequence and to sort of track that sense of sort of wonder and amazement at everything you're seeing, your character is seeing, and presumably for the first time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, just kind of within that, you know, very sort of once you get into the world and once me and Flynn come to being together, it's sort of very impressed with everything that this man has kind of accomplished. And at the same time, it's all blue screen, you know, at this point. So yeah, you gotta look out. I mean, constantly ask what you're seeing here, how bright is that, you know, how loud is that, how many of them are there, and
Do you have like previs that you look at, or talk to Eric?
Yeah, they do have a rough assembly of previs of what they're going to sort of, it's going to kind of track to look like. Other than that, you also don't want to do the same, you know, steal from your previs character what he's like how he stepped there, you know, that was a really good reaction to seeing that. You know, the previs doesn't even look like me. It looks like some sort of 6'4" Italian guy. So, you know, it's like, is that what they really wanted?
Do you feel some kind of, I mean, you know, you are the protagonist in this restart, this continuation of what is clearly going to be a major franchise, a budding franchise for Disney. Day to day, does that feel completely on your shoulders? How does that manifest?
Not really. I mean, I've always kind of felt that, you know, if you think about things that way, it can only take away from you. I mean, I sort of approach this film like, you know, the last film I did was a smaller budget film. You had the ability to be yourself. There wasn't so much pressure on you. It's only what you put out there is, you know, sometimes you're not asked for certain things. And so it's always trying to, I mean, within that, yeah, I just try and alleviate all the possibilities of stress whatsoever from my mind, because I don't feel an extreme amount of pressure in this position, and maybe that's good, or maybe somebody wouldn't feel as much, but you know, each day is such such a new sort of thing. I mean, a new, you know, a new part of the story where, you know, from the Solar Sailor, or, you know, on the game grids, or every day is so different to where you're mostly just trying to focus on that day in particular, what you're going to do, how you're going to make it believable, and not about, you know, the grand sort of a spectrum of things to what could be, or, you know, all that. It's more of a fear than, you know, anything else. You know, I have an extreme amount of curiosity to see what this is all going to look like, because for now, when you look at playbacks in the monitor, it's just, you know, your mug and a blue screen, and you can become critical. You're like, oh, I flinched there, or I blinked there. Man, I shouldn't blink so much. And then it's like, but there's going to be all this glorious stuff back there that's going to be taking a lot of focus off yourself as well. So
I don't know how much of a fan you were of the original film, but have you had that moment where you say to yourself, oh my God, I'm in Tron?
Yeah, from the, I mean, when you're doing the disc stuff, I mean, for me, because we haven't really tackled the light jets or the light bike stuff yet or anything, but, you know, a couple of weeks ago we had to do the disc game platform, and I remember watching the first one, and, you know, when I must have watched, I probably watched it in 2003, so when you're watching that, you just see, you're kind of giggling to yourself, like, man, there's a story around, you know, being within a sort of computer and all this, and they're wearing hockey helmets, and they're throwing, you know, a frisbee's the weapon, or like, you know, and then it actually was the frisbee, and so now, you know, how many years, you know, after that point, when I just watched it out of pure amusement, you know, now you're throwing, I can't even say, but now you're throwing the disc and doing the spin and, you know, saying your lines, and it's all very surreal within that, yeah.
Throw the disc in my head.
I hit him in the head. take 37 apple.
40 feet away, it was a great shot.
It's funny because these guys are sitting at a monitor, which, I mean, you know, where their video village was like that, it's so hard. I mean, if you would have seen the target that I had to throw at, I mean, it was basically, it was literally the size of a barn. And it stuck to my hand and flings off this way and sort of does a curve back this way, and they're all watching the monitors with the glasses on, being like, oh, I wonder where that one's going to go. And then I'm like, Claudio! Like, they all, you know, Claudio ducks out of the way, the DP, and he ducks down, and because I got this visor on, it's like wearing prescription glasses when you don't have prescription, you know, so I can't see, so by the time he ducked down, I thought I killed him. And then, like, Claudio, are you alright? And then all I see is, you know, Claudio's still ducking, and I see Justin come up like this.
That's real 3D.
Yeah.
With regard to the costumes, what was your reaction when you saw kind of what you were going to be in, and then, like, how do you get comfortable?
It was actually interesting. Back in Los Angeles, we went to a structure in Burbank called the MPCC. And trying the suit on, I mean, you had to go through every stage of it. I mean, you know, first maybe it just started with rough form of the pants, you know, none of these gravings were even in there, no lights, no cords whatsoever, just the pants. You know, those are naturally uncomfortable. I mean, just wearing, you know, this kind of Under Armour form, because we got it under here too, that's always uncomfortable. You can feel every single hair on your body moving, you know. And then you try the top on, and then, you know, just kept going in stages. Then you got to come back and try it on when they got the cords going through. Then you got to come back and try it on when they got lights to put on it. Then you got to come back when they got boots ready. And then you got to come back when they got a helmet they want to try on. And then you got to come back when they want to light you up. And it was all these, I must have went back 29 times. And even once I got out here, we were filming, and all my weekends went to flying back, because we had a month shooting real world stuff. And so I'd constantly have to take my weekends and fly back and go try the suit on, fly back, get back filming, you know. So, but with the suit, it was always funny, because for the 2 hours you're in it while trying it on, you're always like, jokishly, we gotta do this for how long? You know, and then the next one, you're like, 2 months? And then, you know, and so it's, And then once you have to put it on for the first day, it's just, it seems like the longest day in the world. And, you know, your body's doing different things. They got foot straps down here to keep the pants low enough so they don't raise up. And you got this on, and you got the boots, and the top holds this one up, but this has to hold the top down. And so when I raise my right arm, I'm feeling a tug on my left foot. You know, and it's all these different things, and your shoulders go out. I mean, I've had a lot of chiropractic readjustments. I mean, to the point where I had, you know, both shoulders out and three ribs out, like both hips. Like, it's all just from the, you know, when you can't sit down, the lower back is gone. But
that's why they pay you the big bucks.
Yeah, right.
We were looking at the helmet.
That's a sore spot. Yeah,
right. I can't imagine having that helmet on for all day.
Well, that one, it's nice because you can get that one off. These, you know, some of the other cast members have a little more technical helmets. In Cave, they have to have a cooling system within there, a fan blowing around. Even one of our other cast members has a screen inside because he can't see out of anything in his helmet, so there's a camera here, and when the light's dark here, his vision's dark here. After 2 months in the suit, it's miraculous how it's just another day at work now. Because the first week, it was just like, is it too late to try and resign?
Just to go back to something you sort of said, and I wasn't sure whether it was a mistake or not. Are there light jets in the movie? Is there like air combat? Because Olivia mentioned training for some flight simulation stuff.
Oh, I don't know what she's training for. Light bikes, that's all I know about.
Did you do any method acting?
Within this? I mean, what?
You try to get as far away from it after hours as I can.
Within this, it's trickier than I ever have to, you know, because on certain films, like the last one I did, I played the leader of a whole sort of, you know, kind of gang of thugs in any town, anywhere, and, you know, it's a very sort of dark story, you know, and my father's John Goodman, and I shoot him in the head, and, you know, Kevin Bacon and Kelly Preston, I kill them, and the kid. Both kids. But, you know.
So there's the same kind of role.
With that, you know, the trailer time is put to a sort of unique kind of use, because what's not written on the page, you're constantly striving to sort of, you know, write some down always kind of ideas, options, alternates, and, you know, and you're in the trailer for hours, so there's this certain annoyance that can just really rise. You can go very serious with it. I mean, in this it's hard because you want to be really serious with what you're doing and always in track of where you want to go with this, but there's also, it's a strange process that in between every take, time that you would be thinking about other routes, people are always constantly around you doing this and doing that, fanning the hub or replacing a light. Oh, we got 10 minutes before the next one, let's replace a light. I'm like, no, let me go and think a little bit. It's, you know, it gets hard that way. Very distracting, but, you know, somehow we, you know, are able to make it work at the end of the day.
With that in mind, I think I can let Garrett go and eat.
Yeah, and think after lunch.
No, I know you're fine, but if I don't feed you in the next 4 minutes, we don't get lunch. Do you guys want lunch, or you have
lunch?
Yes. Yeah. Let him go eat. Thank you.
Thank you very much.